This is Jay Sekulow, 24 hours away from the election of the President of the United States. And what do we do with these international observers?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There has been a new twist in the battle between two states and a group of international voting monitors. The NAACP and other groups called on these folks to go out and look for folks who may be trying to, quote, suppress the vote. The folks in Iowa and Texas, not amused, warning the foreign observers to stay back from the polls this Tuesday or possibly face arrest. And now we're hearing that these groups have complete immunity from many U.S. laws. Is that true?
We don't know how close these so-called observers want to get. If they're checking for a voter identification application, they will have to be closer than 100 feet to the polling place in order to discern what's going on. If they get closer than 100 feet to a polling place, they're committing a crime in the state of Texas that we intend to prosecute.
They've reached out to international courts, international bodies, to referee American elections. I think that it should be very troubling to anyone who believes that America should be able to run their own elections.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we are one day away from the election of President of the United States. It is a dead heat. We are going to go through the polling data. Jordan is here. David French is here in our media center as well. Than Bennett in D.C., in Washington, D.C. Our office is there. We also have gotten our hands on the letter that was sent to the ambassador. This is the group that's going to do this international observation in coordination with UN organizations. Look who signed this. The Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, the NAACP, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, the ACLU of Washington, D.C., the League of Women Voters of the United States, and Project Vote. Project Vote, of course, is part of ACORN, a very much a disreputed group, a group in disrepute. However, this is what's interesting when you now have the letter. They say that election observation is important. This is coming right from their letter. And to that end, they believe it is particularly important to safeguard elections, including key states. And here's what they would like. Presence in Colorado, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin. Jordan, sounds like the battleground states.
Yeah, it's the battleground states. And, of course, these groups are in there trying to suppress the vote. Remember, if you're in one of those states tomorrow and you haven't done early voting, I encourage you, these lines are going to be long. If you get in line before the poll is technically closed, they have to stay open, which means let's say you have a poll that closes at 8 p.m. If you get in line at 4 o'clock and it's a five-hour line, and that could be in some of these states, you stay in that line, they've got to allow you to go. These groups will try to persuade. I mean, you got NAACP groups, inside voting, early voting areas, a lot of
that's
stuff
already
it's all
happening.
Focused on the early vote.
Yeah, now Texas, of course, not exactly a swing state, but every other state in there is a swing state. And David, we're working on a hotline ourselves for the various states so people have access if there's voting irregularities in their local polling place, that there's an access point that'll be available at ACLJ.org.
Right. And very soon you can go to ACLJ.org, and no matter what state you're in, you're going to see a phone number that you can call that's the hotline in your state, for your state election officials, where if you see something going on in a polling place that's got you troubled, you call your state officials. And we're going to have that up on ACLJ.org very soon.
So you've got these monitors coming in to the various states, most of them battleground states, international observers. How do you feel about that, folks? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into an analysis of a state-by-state. But very quickly, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., right over the bridge from Virginia. How does Virginia look for the president? How does it look for Governor Romney very quickly?
Razor, razor tight. If I had to make a call, Jay, I would say it's going to go for Governor Romney, but we're talking 1, 2, maybe 3 points. Very, very close.
All right, we're going to be keeping track of everybody's predictions here so we can see what happens on Wednesday. Folks, this is really today and tomorrow, last day for you to really engage this issue of keeping these international UN-type observers out of the polling places. Go to your phones right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. You'll be signing a letter that we have emailed to the state attorneys general. We've got about 50,000 people already. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
United Nations election monitors are arriving in several states that could determine the outcome of this year's presidential election. Liberal organizations are encouraging these UN monitors to go to Ohio, Florida, Wisconsin, and several other states. The United Nations will have people looking over the shoulder of poll workers and voters as they go to the polls on Election Day. The Texas Attorney General already has put these monitors on notice, saying they are not above the law, warning that state election law will be complied with, period. The fact is, the United Nations has no business monitoring the U.S. election. This voter intimidation tactic is absurd. Stand with the ACLJ and urge every state attorney general in America to follow the lead of Texas. Tell this international group they are not welcomed at our polling places, and that if they don't respect election law, they will face the legal consequences. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I want to hear from people, especially in swing states as well. But we do have the letter now that was sent by these various groups, including the ACLU and Project Vote, which is part of ACORN. And the specific request is for observers, international observers, UN-type observers, to be in Colorado, a swing state, North Carolina, a swing state, Ohio, a swing state, Pennsylvania, a swing state, Florida, a swing state, Texas, a Republican state, but they think they're there just to get the Texas people angry. Virginia, a swing state, and Wisconsin, a swing state. Here's what we're doing, folks. Really, this is it. Last day for you to get on this list. Now, we've sent a letter already to the state's attorneys general. We're updating it with the number of people that contact us, and we want to encourage you to be part of this team to keep these observers out of the polling places. They have no right to be there by law, and it's just an intimidation technique. And we're going to talk about some of the voting issues in just a moment. But, folks, go to aclj.org and sign on to this petition or call us at 1-877-989-2255. If you're outraged with the idea that international observers from UN organizations are going to be in our polling places to make sure we're what? Complying with international law? One of the objections was from the mission by Belarus, which, of course, is a dictatorship, and we're taking their concerns seriously, is what the Obama administration said. And I said this on Fox News. Really? We're taking Belarus's concerns seriously? I don't think so. But ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on that letter. Now I'm going to go around, do a round robin here with Jordan, David, and Than to kind of get this a perspective on a couple of the legal issues that we may be seeing tomorrow, because it talks about that, but also talking about patience at the voting booth. We'll start with Jordan, then we'll go to David.
Yeah, I would say first, for everybody who's in these states, we talk about Ohio, Florida, Virginia, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Colorado, Nevada, Minnesota, Oregon, Arizona, and the list goes on. And there's important state races as well. And if you really believe what many of the pundits and, I mean, these are long-term writers in Washington, D.C., people like George Will for the Washington Post, who have been around for many elections, that states that we're not even talking about as much today, like Minnesota, where money was just starting to be spent by both campaigns, like Wisconsin, like Oregon, like Montana, where you've got a close Senate race there. All of these places, regardless of where you are, you've got important local elections. So you go vote tomorrow if you haven't already done early voting. And if you're in one of those battleground states, know it today. The lines are going to be long. And what does that mean? The person who wins, the candidate who wins tomorrow, will be the people who said, I'll wait 3 hours. That's the side that will win if the polls are right and these races are all within 3 points. It's about, will your supporters wait out if it's cold at night tomorrow in Ohio or Minnesota if it rains? That is the question, that's really the answer. Who is fired up enough? We know what happened in 2008. We know what happened in 2004 as well. Who's willing to wait in line and make sure their vote gets counted?
Weather becomes a factor in all this, folks, and we understand that. And some of you have done early voting, and it's done, but many, David, have not. Tomorrow's the big election day. Weather's a factor, but you serve in the United States Army. This is what you all fight for, is our ability to do this. The Belarusians don't have this. Belarus, they don't get this, but we do get it in the United States, the ability to have a fair election. But what's your advice for tomorrow?
You know, it's a question. Who wants it more? I mean, right now, this is the closest election since the advent of scientific polling methods.
Is that?
That's absolutely true. Wow. It is the closest pre-election polling since the advent of scientific polling methods. And if you favor one of the candidates, you know, the grocery list can wait. You've got to get out there and make your voice heard because, you know, in 2000 is the closest election of my adult lifetime, and we could have four Floridas.
Yeah, that's possible. By the way, you know, in 2000, we had ACLJ lawyers dispatched to Florida on the recount issues because there were so many significant constitutional issues. We filed actually a very historic brief with the Supreme Court of the United States as those cases went up. On that brief was Paul Clement. Well, of course, I was counsel of record. Paul Clement, who served as the Solicitor General under President Bush, was on that brief. Griffin Bell, who served as the Attorney General of the United States under Jimmy Carter. Hal Berman from Emory University. I mean, it was quite the list of lawyers. That could happen again. We're looking at all of that as well to make sure elections are complied with. Fan, you're looking at, let's look at some states, because David mentioned razor thin and this close. There are states where literally a couple of hundred people might make a difference here, because, and you've got the mandatory recounts. Will, let's find out what the mandatory recount number is in Ohio, because I think that one is going to be really, really close. Fan, your sense of things.
Yeah, well, I think Jordan and David really got this right. I mean, the list of battleground states in this election, Jay, is so much longer than in many others because there's so many different scenarios in this electoral math. And here's the thing, Jay. The polling is so hard to get right these days. It depends on your sample and how many extra Democrats you sample. Both of these campaigns seem to think they need to get Ohio. But listen, if they're wrong on just one state, maybe a Michigan or a Pennsylvania is in play for Governor Romney when maybe others didn't think so, the whole math changes. So Jordan's right. You think about 6 or 8 swing states. No. We need to think about 12 or 15 states, right down to the Minnesotas of the world, the Iowas of the world. Even one state going the other direction could change this whole thing.
You know, one of the states, Jordan, that we need to talk about and get everybody's quick impression on this, then we'll get to your calls. Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, everybody assumes, oh, it's always close, and then the Republicans don't win it. Interesting, though, right now, a Republican governor, a Republican senator, and a very strong Republican senator challenger right now to Bob Casey Jr.
When Pennsylvania was challenged fairly heavily by the Bush administration, by the Bush campaign. I was there. I was working in Pennsylvania for the Bush-Cheney campaign. Some of that was to deflect resources from Ohio. I mean, listen, if you can spend money there, it makes Obama, it makes the other campaign have to spend money as well. You saw that happen in Minnesota. Right when the Romney campaign and their PAC went up with ads, Obama has to spend money there too. So part of that is that game. Put resources there. It's politics. It is about thinking the other side, out strategizing. But Pennsylvania is very different from 2004. We only lost by, I think, 5-6 percentage points. We didn't have a Republican governor there. We had Arlen Specter, the late senator, who was a Republican who became a Democrat, very moderate. His signs, I remember, said Specter Kerry. One of his PACs put that out because for cross voting. There, it's a very different Pennsylvania. So if the people come out, I mean,
whole
listen,
country Pennsylvania is not going to want.
It's not going to be.
They're very, very concerned about this.
And so I think you look at that. You know, Philadelphia is going to be heavily Democrat with the turnout. The suburbs where Mitt Romney was last night are heavily conservative. So it's all, again, who will wait in line, and do Obama supporters from 2008, if they show up like they did, then this is a different election, but none of the polls show that.
Interesting, Will Haynes just gave this to me. Statewide election in Ohio, David, is a recount is only automatic if the vote margin is 0.25%. So that's a really thin margin. Find out what the procedure is. Can a candidate ask on others? But let's talk about this aspect of it, the legal side of this. There could be some real challenges here.
Well, that's right. And one of the things you have to look at is that in a lot of these states, you're casting something called a provisional ballot if your name is not on the voter roll. And so at the end of the night, you're going to have a margin that's announced, but then you're going to have a large number of provisional ballots out there. And if these margins get down to 0.5%, 0.25%, which is not out of the question considering the national margin, polling margin right now, looking at it right now, 0.4%.
Wow.
So you're going to be talking about legal challenges to provisional ballots. You're going to talk about legal challenges in recounts. Unless people really get out there and make a decisive statement, it could get very interesting.
Fan, go ahead and let's grab a phone call here, and I'm going to come up with – I've got another question that's just come up, and I want to get into it after the break. But, Fan, let's grab a call.
Yeah, we've got a full bank. Let's go ahead and start with Dave calling from California on line 5. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just got an FYI for you.
Okay.
In anticipation of the general election tomorrow, I called my registrar of voters.
Right.
Have somebody to call if I saw anybody at the polling place that
right.
should be there, including the UN people. And I was told that since 1990, there's an agreement between, and I don't know if it's between the UN and the United States or the UN and California, but it's okay for them to have observers at the polling.
Not true. There was a treaty that was not ratified by the United States Senate, and it's not valid in the United States. And also, this time, Fan, we found out that it was in conjunction with these left-leaning organizations, and that changes the whole. This is not a, you know, a nonpartisan kind of observer here. These have got an agenda.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. I mean, remember this letter requesting this group to come in said that they want these elections to run fairly, but, Jay, the request came from a group that has just been caught violating election laws, Project
right.
Vote and Acorn. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
Here's the other thing. These candidates can have monitors here, Jay. They are the ones that can make sure the process is run fairly. We don't need the UN for that. That's ridiculous.
All right, let me ask you this, Jordan. And this is, I think, an issue we've got to hit. These kind of intimidation factors can make a big difference. I mean, having somebody at the polling place that's not supposed to be there, and you're talking about these razors, 0.25% in the election, how does that play out?
Well, I think there's some racial politics at play here. The NAACP has been in the face, and that will make people say, really, you're going to vote against the first black president. I mean, that's certainly at play here, and you put these poll watchers there, it's as if they know who you're voting for. You put the UN people there who are listing off names, tracking you down. You start thinking, maybe my vote's not anonymous. Who's paying
right.
attention?
Well, they want access to the polling list.
The other issue I think people have to watch out for is making sure if you've got electronic voting, obviously you got a paper ballot, make sure it's clearly marked. But make sure with the electronic voting that you get who you choose, because there was a lot of discussion in Ohio in early voting
yep.
that these machines were going right away Obama, even if you were pressing Romney, because they were feeling your finger move down too sensitive.
All right, folks, you go to your phones right now. If you want those international UN monitors not in your polling places, you call right now 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also sign that petition at aclj.org. But no union no UN monitors at these stations. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. United Nations election monitors are arriving in several states that could determine the outcome of this year's presidential election. Liberal organizations are encouraging these UN monitors to go to Ohio, Florida, Wisconsin, and several other states. The United Nations will have people looking over the shoulder of poll workers and voters as they go to the polls on Election Day. The Texas Attorney General already has put these monitors on notice, saying they are not above the law, warning that state election law will be complied with, period. The The fact is, the United Nations has no business monitoring the U.S. election. This voter intimidation tactic is absurd. Stand with the ACLJ and urge every state attorney general in America to follow the lead of Texas. Tell this international group they are not welcomed at our polling places, and that if they don't respect election law, they will face the legal consequences. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
So here are the states that look like are going to be the ones really in play according to the Real Clear Politics average: Ohio, Florida, Virginia, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Colorado, Nevada, Minnesota, Oregon, although Oregon, President Obama has a big lead, as he does in the Real Clear Politics average in Minnesota, Arizona, and Montana, although, again, Governor Romney has a big lead in Arizona and Montana. So I think you're really back to the states that we suspected. We're going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Let's go ahead and go to Peter, calling from Florida on line 6. Peter, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Personally, the comment I want to make is I don't see anything wrong with having these United Nations overseers who is there to watch objectively. Now, speaking of intimidation, you have to talk about U.S. organizations such as True Vote, that is set up primarily in Democratic voting polling stations. So, yeah, for the purpose to intimidate them from voting.
Well, there is no voter intimidation allowed under law. You can't do that. Voter intimidation is against the law. And the reason you don't want international observers within 100 feet of a polling place is exactly that. It's intimidation, but it's also illegal. Now, Jordan, you were talking about your experience in elections. The candidates have monitors.
Well, and especially if it's a Democrat stronghold, as Peter was talking about, let's be honest. If True the Vote, which he's referring to, was breaking any laws, they'd be in trouble immediately. There will be lawsuits filed. I mean, there are already being lawsuits filed over the weekend in Florida to extend early voting hours. So if you're in a Democrat stronghold, to act as if a conservative group will intimidate voters and get away with that is absolutely incorrect. The truth is, both sides will have a lot of people there, and it's up to the American people to walk through the line. You may be persuaded. I mean, the political campaigns can be close. You'll see the signs. But the truth is, the only voter intimidation I remember that was really reported in the last election cycle was the Black Panthers with a nightstick
right
outside of the campaign polling stations in Philadelphia, scaring voters away. And they've said they may show up again.
They said they're going to be back, David.
Well, the reality is that the core Democratic vote comes from urban areas that are overwhelmingly Democratic. In other words, that, just as Jordan said, voter intimidation is just flat out not going to work there in these overwhelmingly Democratic polling places. Where you have concerns are those places where it's closer, where the margin is a little tighter, i.e. the battleground states,
right,
exactly where they're sending the UN observers.
But what we've got here, Than, is we know that the group that has the groups that have requested the assistance, the ACLU, NAACP, Leadership Conference of Civil and Human Rights, and Project Vote, which is part of ACORN, we know they've asked not only for international observers, but they want those observers in Colorado, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, Texas, Virginia, Wisconsin. Only Texas is a non-battleground state, Than. Everybody else is a battleground state. So this is a partisan move to, in conjunction with the UN-affiliated organization.
No question about it, Jay. I mean, the coordination with these groups, these specific groups, is troubling enough. But the fact that they're sending them to these states clearly suggests to me that they're trying to impact the elections. The other thing, Jay, their negative response to these letters from Texas and Ohio and Iowa, if they were planning on complying with the law, why would they have had any problem with those letters? Those letters just said you have to comply with the law, and yet they thought that was unacceptable.
Folks, we want you to sign on, and this is really today and tomorrow morning are going to be the last days to do it. We're going to be sending out renewals of this email to the attorneys general even through tomorrow afternoon. We want to make sure voter integrity takes place. You get to the ballot box tomorrow and you vote. And if you got to wait online, let me tell you what to do. wait online and cast your vote. Do what Jordan said. Also, make sure that when you cast it electronically, that it comes up the candidate you selected. I will tell you an experience I had where I voted. I hit it, and it said you did not complete the form. You had to go back to, because something I hit obviously did not trigger, and it was for a state office. It wasn't for president, so the president one went through. So you got to make sure of all these things, folks. It's that important, especially when I give you the numbers in just a moment. They are, you know, I'm a razor thin. But we encourage you to add your name to this letter saying no to these international UN observers coming into the polling places. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. So again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to sign on to that. Now, Rasmussen has the general election at 49, Romney, 48, Obama. Ohio, 49, Romney, 49, Obama. Virginia, 50, Romney, 48, Obama. Rasmussen, Wisconsin, which just ended at the end of the month, so this one's a little bit older, was dead even, 49-49. Iowa, which was also at the end of the month, so that's older. I guess we'll be getting new ones. They're going to get some new ones from Rasmussen. It's 49-48. I mean, you're talking, David, razor thin here. I mean, this is – and let me go to Than first. Than, what's the expectation in the House and Senate? There was some discussion this morning. I mean, there are some people that think we've got a shot at seeing some major changes in the United States Senate, and the House, not so much. What's your sense? I can't imagine. It doesn't look like to me that the Senate numbers are there for the Republicans to take the Senate, but a lot of states or a lot of seats are in play.
Yeah, a lot of seats are in play, and that's the reason that this gets so much focus. The Democrats have essentially a 53-47 edge there, but yet they're defending a lot more seats. I think you're right. They will probably hold on to a majority there, but the numbers are at least there where there's a chance. In the House, Jay, the Democrats would have to flip 25 seats to take control of that chamber. I don't see that happening, but then again, you're talking about 435 races. You never know. My guess would be we'll see both of those chambers stay where they are, though.
All right, let's take Debbie in Colorado online for a battleground state. Debbie, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate you guys so much.
Yep.
There's so much about this that's so wrong, and what frightens me the most, I think, is that there's almost no mention of it in the media. I don't watch Fox, but...
Well, Fox has covered it extensively, let me tell you. And listen, there's been news reports on CNN, ABC News. It's getting coverage, so it's out there. But go ahead with your question.
Okay. What I'm wondering, though, is what do we do if we see something when we're in the voting place?
Okay, that's a very fair question. Jordan, I'll go to first, and then David. Someone sees an irregularity, or they suspected irregularity in the voting place.
We'll have the system on ACLJ.org, but the truth is you've got to contact immediately. A remedy doesn't work 2 days later. You can't go home and say 3 hours later that, well, I think there's a problem there, because likely the situation
so go to the
has
poll
changed.
Workers right there.
It has to be done immediately. Lawsuits get filed quickly. The Board of Elections, the actual polling station, has a director. You can go to them as well when you're there and say, this seems bizarre. But it all depends. A lot of it depends on where you are. So if you're in a targeted county, so it has targeted polling stations, you're going to have observers from both sides. But if you're out somewhere maybe more rural, if you're out in a place where maybe it's not as considered a battleground today, but if you believe these pundits and these people have followed these campaigns for 40, 50 years, Minnesota could become a battleground tomorrow. Then listen, you got to make sure you report this immediately.
All right, just a minute left in this segment of the program. We'll be back in a bit. David, what would you do? You get an irregularity in a station.
Step one, talk to the polling worker there on site. And there's usually going to be a supervisor there.
Right.
So find the supervisor, talk to them. If you don't get satisfaction, step two, you can Google or go on ACLJ.org from your phone. You'll find a phone number there for your state board of elections. Call the number. And it's going to be on ACLJ.org, and it'll be a state board of elections. And sometimes if you just stand there with your cell phone in hand making the phone call, that will make a difference.
We will be monitoring the elections tomorrow. We're going to want to hear from you during the day about how your elections went, how your polling went. Somebody may call us right after you vote. That would be great. Hey, stay tuned. We got another 30 minutes of the broadcast coming up. But again, folks, we want to encourage you to sign on to this petition on the whole idea of keeping these international UN observers out of the polling places. You go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. We don't need targeted swing state UN observers. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
The fact is, the United Nations has no business monitoring the U.S. election. This voter intimidation tactic is absurd. Stand with the ACLJ and urge every state attorney general in America to follow the lead of Texas. Tell this international group they are not welcomed at our polling places, and that if they don't respect election law, they will face the legal consequences. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.